Dear God, I know it's not a lot of us here today, but in the Bible you say, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am with them. So please help us to just take something out of the sermon and for to be applied to our lives. And the praise in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. I got this on right? All right. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Well, I think we're doing pretty good because we're out of the rain right now. So I don't know what's happening in the campgrounds, but I think it's probably a little soggy over there for them. But we're praying for them. It's a privilege to be here this Sabbath morning. My name is Pastor Velez. Many call me Pastor V. I am the associate pastor, believe it or not, of the Hispanic district here in Hampton Roads. I work with senior pastor Hector Caban, and my the main church that I care for, I help in the entire district, the Hispanic district, but the main church that I care for is right down the road from you. It's the Norfolk Hispanic Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we have been so blessed this year, so far in the entire district, almost close to, or maybe more of, 30 souls had given their, 30 individuals had given their souls to Jesus Christ. So we just came off of a week of prayer with, actually, it was sort of like a class reunion, if I can say that. The guest speaker was actually one of my college roommates way back in the 1980s. And he was the guest speaker, so it was a great reunion with him. And it turns out, for those who have ties in the military, I hope I'm not saying this incorrectly, but I think it's the USS Bush that has just docked here in Norfolk, and the chaplain of that that ship is actually none other than another college roommate of mine's back in the 1980s. We all studied in the Antillian College in Puerto Rico, and it was so great to see him. He's actually not only a chaplain, but he ranks up there with them, big and mighty. He's actually a commander. So we see how the Lord uses his instruments in various different ways, and it was great to actually meet up with him. Last week, he came for the week of prayer, and in that week of prayer, four souls gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And it's beautiful to see how the Spirit is continuously working to bring home those who are planning to live with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ forever. So once again, I want to thank you for being here this morning. And even though we're a small group, we understand that the Holy Spirit is here with us. So we will study His Word. We'll try to get the best out of it. If I pronounce something, this is my disclaimer. If I pronounce something in error in English, feel free to correct me. This is probably the second time in the 7 years that I'm here in the Virginia area that I actually preach in English. English is actually my second language. Hablo el español de lo más bien. So if I change a word or something, just I beg your forgiveness for now. Let us have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father and Lord, Savior, we thank you for the breath of life that you give us this day. We ask of you as we open your word, that you open our minds and hearts to receive it. May we all be blessed this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I grew up in the countryside. Let me reclip this. Make sure I got this on right. You can tell technology and I are not too good friends. I grew up in the countryside in Las Marias, Puerto Rico. You folks know that currently Hurricane Maria went in and devoured a good 75%+ of the island. The city where I come from, when I got there, you had to buy or purchase your own telephone pole to have telephone service in your home. So technically speaking, we own one of those poles. Well, way back then, it was a true countryside, rigid roads. Yes, I know how to milk a cow and feed the chickens and cook outside, even though I'm not allowed in the kitchen any longer because I burnt down our kitchen this summer. We just actually began to use our stove yesterday. So we actually got the kitchen finalized this week after a 6-month hiatus. So I'm no longer allowed in the kitchen. So we got this really nice microwave I can use. Well, to make a long story short, the reason I'm talking about Las Marias, Puerto Rico, is because we grew up with a small group. And our churches, we had 7 churches in a small town. And they all had anywhere from 12 to 20 members, with the exception of one church, which was in the main and had more individuals. Boy, did we have some fun when we opened the Word of God. And that's what I want to happen this morning. I'm pretty sure that most of you have heard of a gentleman in the Bible called Peter. Anybody hear of Peter? Nowadays, if Peter had a Facebook page, which I'm pretty sure many of you may have or may not, or have some other social media, because that's the technology that's used today, I think Peter's status would probably be complicated. Because Peter had some serious issues. But he was a phenomenal individual. He was someone who wanted to become someone so that he can honor Jesus. That was Peter. He had some good days and he had some bad days. But Peter was an individual that we can really learn from either way. You can either learn how to do something or how not to do something with the stories of Peter. And it's so fascinating because if we look throughout the whole entire Bible, if you're looking for somebody that's perfect, you'll probably only find maybe a couple of individuals that got close to that. And one of them walked with God and never came back. So we have this disciple by the name of Peter, who was a fascinating individual. He was a fisherman. He loved to fish. He was a man who liked to be on the sailboats and the canoes and the kayaks. I don't know why. He'd probably be in the camp meeting this weekend. That was Peter, a humble man. But Peter was also loud. You know, Peter was the type of person who'd probably take a snapshot of himself and put it on Facebook every three seconds. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Hey, walking with Jesus today. Woo, miracle service today. Whoa, we're going to go praise the Lord today. Hey, I'm pretty sure Peter constantly would be posting something he did with Jesus. Because it was important for Peter that everyone else knew that he was associated with Jesus somehow. And between you and I think Peter wanted to step up. You know, he just didn't want to be a deacon. That's just not my style. I'm pretty sure that Peter would have pretty much enjoyed being the first elder of the church. And that was just Peter. He wanted to be up there. He wanted his life to have meaning. And the cool thing about Peter, which I like the most, one of the great things I like Peter, he was a daring individual, spoke his mind either way, and at the same time, even though he would fall, he would always wander back to Jesus. Now, if we can learn something today about Peter, it's the fact that even though we do wrong, even though things don't go our way, even though we're feeling spiritually depressed, if we can learn one thing from Peter today, it's the fact that even though I'm just not all there, I can wander back to Jesus. See, Jesus was Peter's safety blanket. You really take a look at the stories, and the cool thing of all of this was that Jesus did not mind at all. He was there. When I was in school, I remember this thing of bullying today is something that's always existed. The only thing it's more viable today because of social media, because of the news, right? It always existed when we were kids, sure. Absolutely. But when I was a kid, I would get really upset when I heard people saying things bad things about me. It was terrible. And those were just kids, you know. Back then, I was a little chubby boy. I would walk like a little penguin sometimes. So I was just chubby, and they would call me chubby. Or back then, there was this terrible terminology that was called fatso. I don't know where they got that from. But, you know, I would go home, and I'd be to tell my mom, and my mom was there with her open arms, always willing. You know, there's that comfort zone, right, with your mom or with your dad or family member or somebody. There's always that comfort zone. We don't mind going to that person and telling them what's occurred in our life. And Jesus wants to be our comfort zone, too. He wants us to go up to him, just as Peter did. He wants us to go up to him and say, hey, Jesus, I had a bad day today. And Jesus is always there to listen. I'm going to share a story in the Bible that you've probably heard 10,000 times before. But we're going to try to pinpoint different advantage points from this story so that we can apply them to our lives and take them home with us. Are you ready? I'm in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14, and there's verse, let's see here. Verse 23. Now, just to give you prehistory behind this, here's Jesus practically working miracles all day long. He's healing people, and he's preaching, and it's a long day. It's just a long day. And we all know that people, you're probably hungry right about now and hoping I finish right on time so you can enjoy your lunch. Well, after this long day of preaching and sermons, here's Jesus with this huge multitude of people, and they're also hungry too, right? So all of a sudden, Jesus does this phenomenal miracle where he feeds how many people? Do you remember that magic number? Does anybody remember? How many? 5,000. You got it. So Jesus feeds 5,000 people, and what he did was he called Olive Garden, their catering service, and he sent for the best salads around and the breadsticks, and it was unlimited, and they got there right on time, and they served these people. That's what occurred. Am I correct? Okay. Is that fine with you? Fine? No. What did he do? He performed a miracle. The disciples said, you know what, Lord, they're a bit hungry here. I think you should cut on the sermon and just let them go home to eat. And Jesus says, why send them home on an empty stomach? Well, we just don't have enough to give them. What do we have? Oh, there's a couple pieces of bread and a couple fish here. And remember, these disciples were fishermen. So they knew how thin they can actually spread out a fish. And Jesus said, well, just bring them to me. Well, okay. And all of a sudden, Jesus prays upon them and says, start feeding the people. And I can just imagine they're looking and they're saying, this is not going to go well because we only have some bread and some fish. And all of a sudden, the miracle occurs when Jesus feeds how many people? 5,000 individuals. Amazing. After that event occurs, everybody's spirit is lifting. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus. Peter and the disciples are there, and they're witnessing this great event. Jesus just finished feeding 5,000 people with a couple loaves of bread and a couple fish. That is tremendous. And not only that, prior to that day, Jesus was healing people both spiritually and physically. They witnessed that. You know what? At times, we witness miracles, but we truly don't. Does that make sense to you? Sometimes we witness a miracle, but we truly don't. It's like we don't give God the credit for doing the miracle. We begin to doubt. And we begin to try to put science into it and a lot of excuses. But bottom line was that the power of the Spirit, God was there through his Son, Jesus Christ, and he fed people both spiritually and physically that day. So the event finishes. Everybody had a great meal, like a super potluck, and they're gone. And Jesus orders the disciples to do what? go on the boat and go to the other side of the water. So I'll catch up with you. So Jesus stays there to exit the individuals, to greet them on the way out, and he orders his, instructs his disciples after this great event to leave. Listen to what Jesus is about to do. Are you ready? It says, verse 20, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full, so there was even leftovers. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and what? Children. So those were only 5,000 men. So let's say they all, you know, maybe half of them were married or had a spouse. Maybe half of them had a couple children. So we're talking about thousands of individuals, more than 5,000 that were fed. And straightaway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a what? A ship, a boat, and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. First of all, one of the first things we can take from this verse is that Jesus, the Son of God, had a need for prayer. Now, if the Son of God has a need for prayer, do you think that we have a need for prayer? Absolutely. We should be living on our knees. So Jesus had a custom, and his custom was to go apart to the mountainside and to spend time with God. And I could imagine him just going to his father, Abba, Padre, Father. What a day! Did you see those souls come to you? Father, those miracles, the joy in their eyes. Father, how you fed those 5,000 plus individuals. And I can hear Jesus, you know, praising and pleasing the God Almighty, and at the same time praying for those who may have not been touched that day. Praying for his disciples. The spirit of prophecy in the Desire of Ages says that that at this moment in time, Jesus was actually praying for his disciples. When I was a young boy, we lived in Rochester, New York, and I'll never forget my mom had a room, and it was a selected room of the house that had a huge recliner. That was her prayer room. We were not allowed to go in that room and play on that recliner, because that room was separated for her to have that time with God. We, as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, in a challenging world today, we need to have our own time with Christ on a daily basis. If Jesus did it, what more shall we do and follow his example? And the scripture tells us, Jesus away, but the ship was now, all right. So it says, and when he had sent the multitude away, in verse 23, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed in the waves, for the wind was contrary. Alrighty, are you ready for the story? Here it is. They're on this ship. The disciples. It's probably 1-2 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden, there's a storm brewing. The Bible says the wind is going back and forth. The Desire of Ages says it was a tremendous storm. They're in the midst of a powerful storm. The boat is going from side to side, and these are fishermen. These are experienced fishermen who have been on ships and boats for many, many years. And all of a sudden, they're probably crying like little girls. And boys cry too. These men were probably in fear of their lives, maybe scooping water out, trying to save themselves. If they had something that was heavy on the boat, they probably started throwing things overboard. They were panicking. They couldn't see. There was rain, there was wind, and it was the dark of night. And his disciples are in that boat. How many people are in that boat? One? Two? The Bible says his disciples there, that crew that was with him in that miracle. You know what's strange to me right now? Why doesn't Scripture say that those disciples who had previously seen Jesus perform all these miracles not begin to pray? Have you ever thought of that? They had just witnessed Jesus feeding over 5,000 individuals, healing thousands of others. They're on a ship in a storm. Wouldn't Jesus be my first recourse? Doesn't that happen to us at times? Haven't that happened to you? Where things are not going the way you planned, there's an emergency, your car's not working, something's wrong, and instead of calling upon the powerful name of Jesus Christ, you try to resolve the issue yourself. Has that happened to you? Happened to me. My car broke down once when I was a student in Puerto Rico. And the first thing that came to my mind was calculating how poor I was going to be after they fixed that car. Now, you know the students, when we go to college, we owe everyone the money, and we only survive on macaroni and cheese. And that morning, I was headed to college, and my vehicle stopped. And I said to myself, oh boy, this is going to cost a lot of money. I don't know where I'm going to get this money from. And I was beginning to calculate, how is this going to get resolved? Till I stopped and I said, well, why don't I go to Jesus first? My first train of thought should have been, Jesus, I'm in trouble, I need you. And as soon as I did that, a stranger came by and said, hey, are you having problems? And I said, yes, this is what's going on with my vehicle. And he says, well, there's a mechanic right over there. And I said, where? That's all mountain. It's a forest. He goes, inside the forest, there's a mechanic. He literally took my vehicle down to this trail. And there was this gentleman. And he says, how may I help you? And the gentleman who had just stopped said, well, this is my friend. He has a problem with his vehicle. And the gentleman looks at it and he says, well, I think I know what it is. He says, go to school. He says, go to school. I'll take care of it. And we can make sure you can pay me later once you get out of school. And I went to school, did all my classes. At about 4:30, I go to the mechanic shop. And there he is with my vehicle working. And now I'm thinking, how am I going to pay this guy? I probably have to leave him the vehicle as collateral. How am I going to pay this guy? You know what he told me? I said, okay, what are the damages? I just want to cry because I only had like $30 or $40 on me. He said, all I need from you is $10. And he says, and that's because I had to buy the part. One day, when you're around this area, bring me some of those sweet oranges you guys have in your countryside, and we'll be square. I didn't even let him repeat that a second time because I wanted to take advantage of that special. I took out $10, put it in his hand, shook his hand two or three times, and I just hugged him, and off I went to ensure that the next day I would bring him this huge bag of sweet oranges. I should have let God take care of everything from the beginning, right? Why worry? If God could take care of the small things, he can take care of the larger things. And now we have these individuals. They're in a ship. They're panicking. And now matters get worse. The Bible says all of a sudden that there's somebody walking on the waters. Say, what? Because there's no registry in the Bible before that incident that somebody had walked on water. The Bible says, and I'm paraphrasing just to move forward, that they stood up and they began to scream even more. Because they thought it was a what? A ghost. They were probably nudging each other, saying, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Oh, I don't see what you see. Yes, you see what I see. And I'm pretty sure they're scared, and they're probably talking among each other. Ooh, that must be a ghost. That must be a demon. Oh, Jesus, I knew my great-grandmother was right. There's ghosts in this world, and they walk on water now. Aren't we talking about the same individuals that just saw Jesus feed 5,000-plus individuals, and prior to that, heal thousands more? These are the same individuals that the few hours prior to this incident are crying and screaming, trying to save themselves, and now walking on water, they believe they see a ghost. Doesn't that happen to us sometimes? Where we experience something beautiful that God has done for us, and then amidst the times in trouble, we begin to see a ghost. We begin to bail out water. We begin to try to do things on our own. Where does that faith go from 1 hour to the next? What I love about this part of the story is that Jesus is as cool, calm, and collective as always. See, while he went to talk with his father, he was praying for them too. He knew there was a storm. And let me tell you something that registers right here in that verse where it says that Jesus is walking on the water when they see a ghost. See, if you know your Heavenly Father, if you strongly believe in Jesus Christ, you very well know that in time of crisis, he will never leave you. And he doesn't wait for the crisis to be over. As the storm is happening, that's when Jesus appears. And if you don't believe me, at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just ask those three. They were in this pit, they were ready to burn, and Jesus didn't wait for after. He got there right in time. He joined the party. Right when that furnace was at the hottest point, that's when Jesus showed up. And in the most difficult times of your life, you can be guaranteed that it's not a ghost. It's Jesus Christ showing up at your door. He didn't wait for the storm to rest. He didn't tell the storm to be calm. He walked in the midst of the storm because he is the King of Kings. He can speak and things happen, they occur. And Jesus is walking in the midst of the storm. And he's getting closer to the boat. Unfortunately, his disciples did not understand that their Savior was coming towards them. But here comes Peter. And it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples, verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a spirit? And they cried out of fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. Now they're thinking that this ghost is actually talking to them. And it's Jesus. And Jesus is in a good mood in the midst of the storm. Because the storm doesn't got him beat. There's nothing that can defeat our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's conquered all. So here's a conqueror. Jesus is coming close to the boat and he's reassuring them as he does us every day. When he gives you the breath of life, when you can breathe and live another day, that's an opportunity that Jesus Christ has given you to be saved. That's it. He wants to manifest himself in your life on a daily basis. And he says, be a good cheer. How can you be a good cheer if you've been in a storm for a few hours and you're fighting for your life? This is where faith comes in. Listen closely. And Peter answered and he said, Lord, if it be thou, have me come to you on the waters. Now, let's get this right. I don't care what they say about Peter. He was one brave soul. Because if I were on that boat, I'd probably be with all the other disciples, probably in a little corner, just asking for this to stop. And Peter shouts back, "Is that you, Lord? I want to come to you. I don't want you to come to me. I want to come to you. I want to walk on water." That is fascinating to me. And I'll tell you why. We're in the midst of the storm. They think it's a ghost. Their faith is a little shaky. But Peter still wants to walk on water. Why? Wait a minute here. How many people did we say were on the boat? Was it just Peter? So we have this group of disciples that witness everything that Jesus did, and only one dared stand up to meet their creator. There's a verse in the Bible that says, many shall be called, and what? And only few shall be chosen. Isn't that incredible? Have you ever thought of that? Why didn't they all stand up and say, Jesus, it is you. We all want to come to you. But of all of them, only Peter dared to stand up, walk in the midst of the storm to get to his Savior. I can learn a lot about this point alone. How we need to sacrifice at times because we believe in Jesus Christ. How we need to say no to many things so that we can come to Jesus Christ. See, sometimes we're just not willing to take the sacrifice to follow Jesus. We want it all comfortable. No, you come to me, Jesus. I'm just going to sit here. No action on my behalf. But Peter begins to take action because true faith, what? Takes action, right? Faith without works, it's not faith. There's no result. So all of a sudden, we see Peter here. And he says, yeah, Jesus, I want to come to you. And what does Jesus say? Stay on the boat, I'll be there. Is that what Jesus says? What did Jesus tell Peter? He says, come, Peter. Come on, get off the boat. You know what? I am so amazed that Peter got off the boat. Because the most secure place at that moment in time for a human being would have been what? Saying, I'm not leaving this boat. You're going to have to throw me over. I'm not getting out of this boat. That was his safe harbor. So Jesus says, he didn't stretch his hand. He didn't say, I'll carry you. What did he tell Peter? Come on, Peter. And Peter took a leap of faith, and he got out the boat. I ask you the question again. Why didn't the other ones get out the boat? Even after they saw Peter walk on water. I think they had some serious issues with their faith. Even though they had seen Christ feed over 5,000 and heal thousands more. Doesn't that happen to us at times? Jesus can tell us, come, I got this. And we don't want to leave our comfort zone. Even though Peter, after the fact that he looked away from Jesus, he strayed and he fell, he's the only one that can brag that he walked on water. There's two people we know of in the Bible that walked on water. One is Jesus and the other is who? Peter. Say it what it may be. He walked on water. He's the only one that can put that on Facebook, Instagram, or wherever. The only one. See, when we come to Jesus and heed his call, and when we do work by faith, we do great things, big things. We're distinguished not for our honor and glory, but for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, for the salvation of souls. And a lot of people like to say, well, Peter walked on water, but he failed. We all failed, but Jesus didn't leave him to drown. He picked him right up, and they walked back to the ship. And all this during the midst of the storm. So the message today is the following. When things get tough, Jesus Christ gets tougher. He's not going to leave you. Go to him first. You've already seen him work miracles in your life. He's actually done something in your life. That's why you're here today. So first of all, go to Jesus first. When things are going tough and things are really bad, because that's things are going to happen to us, rely on him. Don't rely on yourself. No need to bail out the water. Go to Jesus Christ first. He'll take care of you. Of course, there's things we need to do. When I burned down the kitchen, of course, I left the house. I wasn't going to stick around. I saw the smoke and I saw the fire. But as I was leaving, I said, Lord, I'd hate to lose the whole house. We haven't been here too long. And sure enough, when the fire department came about 5 to 10 minutes later, I thought they were going to ruin the entire house. And I saw those big hoses going into the house, and I'm thinking, oh, this is bad, really bad. And the fire chief came out, and he says, well, got some bad news and some good news for you. And I said, let's start with the bad. I said, you don't have a kitchen, and your house is full of smoke. He says, the good news is the fire put itself out, so we didn't have to use the hose. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you, because I was desperate. I have to admit, the whole house could have gone up in flames. It was confined technically to the kitchen, and logically the smoke went through the house, but that's nothing in comparison to what's just currently happening in California. See, if we come to Christ first, he'll say, come. How many of you would like to be like Peter this morning and walk on water? I would love to do that every day. Now, kids, don't try this at home. Try this at home. This is a biblical story that reminds us that we can do great things in the hands of Jesus Christ. When he calls you, he's going to call you to do something great. Doesn't mean that you're going to shine. You're going to be on a newscast. It could be that something you're going to do within a few people. But I can tell you today, no matter what it is, as long as you're following Jesus Christ, you heed to that call when he said come, and you step out of that boat, I can guarantee you, not only would others be blessed, but you will be blessed other. And the name, you will be blessed too, and the name of Jesus Christ will be exalted. So today we learn from the story of Peter, my friend Peter, who could be a little complicated, is that out of everyone in that boat, he stood up. He took a leap of faith. He heeded the call, and even though he failed, he hung on to Jesus and continued his journey with him. This morning, I invite you all to A, remember what Christ has done for you. The 5,000 that he fed and thousands more. Remember everything he's done for you. Walk in faith, knowing that you are following the only true God, a living God, a God who practices miracles every day. A God that in the midst of the storms doesn't wait for the storm to be over. He comes within the storm so that he can help you and save you. Trust Jesus. Take a leap of faith. Walk on water. Don't believe in ghosts. Believe in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is a great story about Peter and how in the midst of the storms, even those others didn't believe, he believed. He heard you tell him, come, and he walked on water. And even though he failed at one point, you were gracious enough to lift him up, walk back to the ship, and help them all survive the storm, but not only their physical storm, but a spiritual storm too. They realized at that time, at that moment, that you were the true God, the true Son of Man, and that you are there in the most important times of our lives to help us survive. You're a God of miracles, a God who wants us to progress spiritually, to live with you for eternity. You're a God that loves us so much that you gave your only Son so that all of us who believe in you will not perish but have eternal life. So this morning, we take on the challenge to have more faith in thee, dear Lord, to remember the things that you have done for us in the past, to come to you in the present and the future, and depend totally on you. And dear Lord, when you come to take us home, please allow us the opportunity to bow before your feet, to praise your name, and sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we ask these favors. Amen. Amen. Amen.